this is Kenya, and welcome to my magical cottage core life. Today, we are fully immersed in spring. Spring has happened, spring has sprung, and that means not only have we entered the March moon time, but we've also entered the rainy days, the way that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, all those cliches that you know about. But something else is coming, and I want you to be ready, because this is going to be a delicious treat for not just you, but also our bee friends. And we're going to talk about how to use this plant, not just in the ways that you might be familiar with, but maybe some surprising ways. I don't know. You might already do this kind of thing. It's going to be interesting to find out if you already do. If you do use these methods to enjoy this plant, let me know by messaging me in the Shire on Facebook under my Magical Cottage Core Life Shire. Okay, enough of all that. Now, open up your big book of stuff, because today we're going to talk about eating spring. Well, specifically, turn to the section on dandelions. Let's get started. So remember, we talked before in many episodes about if we're going to talk about a plant, we should know the name of the plant. And dandelion, you would think everyone knows what the dandelion is. But we're specifically talking about Taraxacum officinale. And we're talking about that plant, not other plants that look like it. And even though they may not come up at the same time as dandelion, you might decide later on in the year, not just in the spring, to eat dandelions, and you wind up with a lookalike. So let's remember, we're talking specifically about the dandelion. And one of the ways you know that it's the dandelion is that it's coming up in spring. Another way to identify the dandelion is the leaves on the dandelion, because the leaves look like teeth. So what a dandelion indeed. It's a sunny yellow color, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Unless you're a landscaper, then there's some other stuff to consider. Because if you're a landscaper, you may not like the fact that you have to remove the dandelion from all of those picture-perfect lawns that you service for your customers. I mean, I personally think the dandelion's doing what it's supposed to do. It's drawing nutrients from the earth, it's converting them into what it needs to live, it's a beneficial flower to all sorts of animals, and I think that's fine in insects, but it's not necessarily picturesque if you want just rolling green lawns, which to me are not exactly gorgeous, but that's some people like that aesthetic of a rolling green lawn. I personally think life is much more interesting with a bit of unexpected variety, and dandelion gives us that, especially since once it goes into seed, dandelion fluff, those seeds get absolutely everywhere, and you get fields full of dandelions until people poison them. So please don't poison the dandelions. So dandelions are members of the Aster family, right? And they're really cool. That's probably, if you know what boneset looks like, you probably have wondered, I wonder if these are related, or maybe you didn't, I don't know. But they are. They actually are, in a distant way, kind of related. Just like it's related to the sunflower. It's related to sunflower. So if you ever wonder, like, is a dandelion a tiny little sunflower? Technically, no. It's not its own sunflower. It's not a sunflower. It's its own little family member. But it is actually related. And so you're kind of bringing a little bit of the sun into your garden when you let it flower. Okay, that was really sing-songy and way too friendly, but you get my point. So, we're going to talk a little bit more about eating dandelion, but first of all, remember, never take anything in its entirety when it's growing wild. So if you have a patch of dandelions, don't take them all. The bees need to eat them. As soon as the spring pops up, those dandelions are there, they need to eat them because they're rebuilding their energy up. They have been just living off of what they stored up all winter long. So let them feast. They've got to fatten up. Another thing, if you see dandelions in an area where there's industrial activity, maybe don't eat those. If there's a factory right next to it, maybe don't eat those because you don't know what's in the ground and what has seeped into them. Try to find them in wild places. If you have them in your neighborhood, make sure that no one has used weed killer or other toxic chemicals on that lawn before you start taking them. But if you've got it, you've got your own lawn, you don't use poisons on your lawn, or you're near an area where they grow wild and there's nothing nasty there, go for it. Get your dandelion on. Just get your dandelion on and you can eat them. Now, listen, before you start just mowing on flower heads and just start popping them in your mouth, which we know the rule about that, don't just put things in your mouth, you can eat them, but you might want to wash them first because more than likely there's probably a 50% chance that there may be an ant in there, depending on what time of the year it is. And unless you're into the extra protein and don't mind a terrifying death for the ant, then, you know, fine. But I'm just saying, maybe wash them off first. So what you want to do is you want to figure out how you're going to eat them, how you're going to use them. Personally, before you even think about going too far with eating the flower heads, let's talk about the leaves. Young shoots, young leaves from the dandelion plant, and you can recognize them, you know them when you see them, are really good for salad greens. Remember, every salad green is not sweet, so don't be surprised if it doesn't taste all like, you know, bib lettuce. It's not going to taste the same way. But we like things that have different flavors, and it's just as important to develop an affinity for understanding and tasting things that are bitter or really green than as well as other things. So adding this to your salad is good for you physically. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. It's also really good as far as being able to eat your garden. If you have dandelions in your garden and you just are already going to pull them up because maybe they're growing where you don't want them to grow, pulling the whole plant up, you're fine because you can also dry out the root. The roots can be made into their own form of coffee. So it works out really, really well, but that taproot can give you a lot of trouble. So my recommendation is to use a taproot removal tool. They do have taproot removal tools, and that way you can get that plant out. It's not foolproof, but it's a lot better than trying to pull it up because what happens is the top of the dandelion comes off. You think you've gotten rid of it. You maybe even use a shovel and pull it up that way. But that taproot goes way down and you probably haven't killed it. So if you use the taproot removal tool, you're more likely to get the whole thing. And after all, you know, there's nothing wrong with using things that volunteer in your garden for the good. And if you use the taproot removal and you get the taproot, you can make it into coffee and have coffee on, wait for it, tap. Okay, that was a really bad mom joke. I don't care. La 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 la. I can't hear you groaning. La 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 la. I can't hear it. La la la. Okay, so, but yeah, so the other part is that once you get these greens going, you might find you really like them. Now, you can put them in salad, and that's fine. That's usually the first way people learn to eat things. They introduce themselves to the food raw. Wash it first. It's been on the ground. Wash it first. And You can definitely eat things, just, you know, pick them up and eat them. There's nothing really wrong with that. But remember, sometimes dogs have to relieve themselves and you might want to wash that plant. And sometimes bugs relieve themselves. Yes, bugs can relieve themselves. Bugs can extrude fluids and other substances. So you might want to wash that plant. But it's all protein. It's whatever. But but wash it off. And you can eat it in salad, but you can also cook it in a traditional way, and that is to use bacon and onions or even garlic and sage and just fry it on up, and it'll be really good. Now, don't use the sage unless you're using sausage with the dandelions. I just want to point that out. Most people don't even think about putting sausage with it any longer. I'm not really sure where that fell out of favor. Because the thing is, if you use the bacon, they figure you don't need the sausage. And I'm like, why not both? But I don't eat pork any longer. I can't even eat it if I tried, but I choose not to. But even if I wanted to, I couldn't. So I can't have either of those yummy things, but I can have turkey bacon, and I can just feel my husband staring at me saying, that's not real bacon. Well, that's fine, but I don't eat pork, so blah, blah. So you know I'm talking about frying up the leaves, but did you know that you can eat the buds as well? That's right. Before they open up, you can eat those flower heads. You can eat the buds, which technically aren't flower heads until they flower, but you get my point. You can put them in salads, or you can add them to stews, or you can put them in the stir fries. It's really up to you how you want to use it. You could even pickle them. Remember, we could pickle nasturtium buds. You can pickle these. We can pickle Rose of Sharon buds. You can pickle these. It will have a peculiar taste. It's not necessarily a sweet taste at all, but it might be just the thing to add that extra little something to what you're looking for when you are in a certain mood. Sometimes you just want a weird flavor to just bring everything together. And if you were raised in Detroit with parents from the South, sometimes you want to add something to your food that people can't identify, so they can't copy your recipe. I'm just saying, it's a real thing. In addition to this, there's other things you can do with that flower head. So let's get into that. Now, what you can do, you can also make dandelion head fritters once they do actually bloom and the flower opens up. But you've got to be quick, because you do not want to let them sit overnight, because you're just going to have a big old bag full of fluff. So pick all those flower heads and wash them off. Get yourself enough to actually eat, but don't take them all. Remember, we talked about other things needing to eat them, other insects, specifically the bees. But definitely, grab yourself a bunch of flower heads, no more than you think you can eat that day, thank you, and take them home. Soak them for a minute. I usually say soak them in water with a tiny bit of vinegar. It's up to you. I can't make you do it. I'm not the boss of you, but I recommend doing that. You may find you have a bunch of little ant friends that come out and say, hello, we're drowning, sorry, but or not. I mean, try to like dip them first to get the ants off and drain them, and then soak them for a minute, then take them out and let them dry. But don't let them dry too long, because again, you don't want them to turn white. Don't eat the green part if you can help it. As far as the stem, don't eat the stem, just eat the tops. But what you're gonna do is you're gonna batter them. Now here's where we have the controversy. Here's the controversy. What I'm about to say is going to offend a lot of people. And I understand that and I accept that, but I'm still gonna say it. While you can go the old-fashioned route and season them with a little bit of seasoning and make a slurry of water and flour to where it's like really like a thin pancake batter, and you dip them and fry them in oil, that's all fine and good. But I live here and I am like, while that's fun, I would like more people to actually try this. So I don't want to intimidate people by making them do too much outside of their wheelhouse. So let's talk about how to cheat. And the way that I'm going to recommend you cheat is to get some actual pancake mix. All right, so here's the thing. You can have pre-made pancake mix in your cabinet. You can make it yourself. All right, so for my purists, my crunchy granola moms, you've probably got a mix already made up. Or if you already have a recipe for pancake mix, this is your go-to. I get it. But, and yes, I know some of you add egg and it's fine. I'm not here to judge you. I am not here to judge you. But here's the thing. Not everybody eats eggs. Not everybody has the ability to have a storehouse of flour and whatnot. Some of us are just out here trying to live. When I was younger, I did actually make my way around the country with not much. So for me to carry flour in my bag wouldn't have been a thing, but I might get a packet of pancake mix. I might do that because I can make all kinds of things from pancake mix. So I'm just going to recommend that if you don't have a full kitchen, maybe just grab yourself a packet of pancake mix, make a pancake batter, but make it a little bit looser, like more, a little bit more water or more liquid than you normally would, because you want it to be a little looser. You can do that also in your home. And that way you can dip your dandelions, maybe season them and fry them, and it'll be more to your palate and it'll be a lot easier on you. Just keep in mind that dandelion heads, you know, will burn rather quickly because the batter will burn rather quickly if you're not watching it. So be attentive. Now, one thing you can definitely do if you want to have dandelions in another way, because you're going to drink your dandelions because you're not going to use them as coffee. You're going to make dandelion wine. I know you are. Don't pretend. Some of you have already made it. Some of you are sitting there sipping on some right now. But dandelion wine is really good for you. Maybe good to you. But the thing is about dandelion wine, if you want to know that you're going to have enough, plant your own patch. You can order your own seeds, grow your own patch. Your neighbors are going to get grumpy. They're going to say, oh no, your dandelions are going to come over here and invade my lawn. And they are probably, but they'd love you better if you didn't let them. Just, you know, make sure you take all the heads, but they're going to get away. But this way, you know, you have enough and you know, it is what it is. Keep in mind that dandelions are not from here. They are an invasive plant that has become naturalized at this point because they're all over the place, but they are not from here. They are immigrants, like many of us, they are immigrants. So they've kind of gotten here and made this their home. So go ahead, plant your dandelions. Just don't let them get away from you too much. Unless that person next door has become really, really insufferable. In which case, maybe sprinkle a few extra. But I would never say that on purpose, of course. I'm spicy today. I feel really spicy today. Maybe it's because I'm freezing and I'm a little bit annoyed by the fact that I'm under a blanket of snow in my home and you know, using the space heater along with the furnace just to get myself nice and toasty while I do this podcast. And I'm waiting for my dandelions and now they're sleeping under the snow. So I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm so spicy. Even looking out at the beehive, it's also covered in snow. So, you know, I kind of got into this whole fall spring thing, even though it's really spring. But here in Michigan, you know, no one believes me, but I remember as a child, one day it snowed in June in Michigan. No one believes me except for, I think, two other people who remember that day. It didn't stick. It wasn't big, but it was just a dusting of snow in Michigan. And it was a June day. I will never forget it. So, yeah, this is Michigan. Now, I haven't given you an original recipe in a really, 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 really long time. So I think I'm overdue. And I want to give you something that you can do with the dandelions. And for my people who eat plants and don't eat things that used to have eyes other than potatoes. This might make you happy because it is not a vegan recipe. It's more of a vegetarian recipe. And I'm going to tell you how to make dandelion rumaki, which, as we know, rumaki is not plant-based. So has a plant in it, but it's not plant-based. But that's okay because we're going to do this anyway, right? So what we're going to do, we're going to make our own version, which is weird because it doesn't have meat in it, but work with me here. So you're going to need some dandelion buds. That's the first thing you're going to need, okay? You're going to need a little bit of sauce that you like, and it's on you. You know, if you like sweet sauce, use a sweet sauce. If you like savory sauce, use a savory sauce. It's fine. The next thing you're going to need, and this is the important part because you need something that's a little bit mush to it, you're going to use a mushroom. I recommend using a brown mushroom, but that's because I'm going for color. So you can use a portobello, but you don't have to. You can use a shiitake. You can even use a button mushroom. Don't use the gnocchi mushrooms. That's not going to work for this. Please don't be that person. Okay? So you've got your dandelion bud, right? And you've got your little piece of soft, fleshy mushroom. If you really want to go all out, get yourself some wood ear mushroom if you're in the area where you can get wood ear. If not, you're going to have to go to the local Asian food mart and soak it and rinse it, and then you're going to have your wood ear mushroom. Double the amount of wood ear mushroom if you want to really get down into it, because it's kind of not what you think it will be. So you're going to add those two together, and then you're going to wrap it. But what are you wrapping it in? Instead of wrapping it in bacon, which is what rumaki would be, with the bacon wrapped around the chicken liver and the water chestnut, I know, I don't eat that anymore. But instead of doing that, which you could wrap it in bacon if you eat meat and you wanted to have this kind of, you know, dandelion rumaki, I guess you could, but it doesn't have the chicken liver, so it's on you. But if you don't want to use that, you can use a cabbage leaf. And instead of deep frying it, you can actually just roast it and it'll be fine. It'll be great. Maybe use some of the really good chicken. You're going to need, okay, here we go. I'm going to say myself, I'm going to use chicken broth. That's what I'm going to use. But if you're doing this and you don't want it to be that way, you can use a vegetable broth with a mushroom base. And that way you'll have that umami taste. And you can like soak it in there. And then, you know, as far as in the casserole while you're baking it, and it'll be really, really good. Now, we know that rumaki is supposed to be fried. I don't care. This is my recipe, and this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be great, and you're going to love it, and it's going to be all kinds of awesome. Now, if you are super hardcore plant-based, you have carrot bacon, and you can use carrot bacon, and it will work just fine. But if you're not, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Just use what you have. If you want to have something a little bit more fleshy feeling than cabbage, then substitute thinly sliced, you want to slice them vertically, thinly sliced eggplant, and you can roll it in there. If you like that crunch taste of the water chestnut, you can add the water chestnut nut to this. And don't forget to season it the way you want it to be. You don't have to not season something. It's fine. Season it. Make it taste the way you want to taste. You want to add soy sauce? Add soy sauce. You want to add liquid aminos? Add liquid aminos. You want to add coconut sauce, which was, you know, coconut soy sauce or coconut nuts. Okay, that made no sense. You want to add coconut aminos? Add coconut aminos because everybody can't have soy. So, you know, make it your own, flavor it up like you like. I personally like, you know, things that have cabbage. I like things that have that certain flavor. I like things that have a chicken broth taste. But if you're doing it for people who don't eat chicken or meat, then leave that out and use vegetable broth or use miso. You can make this your own. You can take the mushroom out. You can put the mushroom back in. You can take the water chestnut out, you know, if you didn't add it already. Make it your own. But either way, keep the dandelion bud and make a dandelion rumaki, and it'll be wonderful. It'll be great. It'll be a good time. Good time will be had by all. That's what I want to see you do. I want to let you know it's going to taste good. It will be different, but I think you'll like it once you get used to it. And of course, you could always wrap it in bacon if you wanted. I think I would be wrong to not tell you what rumaki is supposed to be, because I think that's important. I think you should know what rumaki is supposed to be before we start playing around with it at home. Rumaki originally is basically chicken liver, water chestnut, wrapped in bacon, fried. Sometimes people bake them, but generally fried. And, you know, and then what they do is they actually cover them in a sauce. That's what a rumaki is. So yeah, we're really taking a lot of leeway here. But I just like the name rumaki, and I think that the name rumaki, and I think that the dish should be saved. You could even go so far as just substituting the dandelion bud for the water chestnut with a chicken liver and wrap it in bacon. So, you know, and then do it that way. But I really feel that you need to know what originally rumaki is, because even though I'm really pushing the envelope here, I think it's important that we give a nod to the original. Now, on this podcast, we've talked about the health benefits of dandelion before this episode, and I don't really want to get caught up into that this particular day, but remember that dandelion leaves and stems also help with dispelling water from the body. Hey, guess what? I am not a doctor. I am not giving you medical advice, nor am I a certified naturopath, nor a certified herbalist. I'm just telling you some of the home remedies and some of the ways it's been used. For further information on that, you want to look that up online and talk to an actual person with an actual degree to let you know what's true and what's not. Guess what? I am not a medical doctor. I am not giving you medical advice. But me and myself, I do use it because I get fluid sometimes around my heart. So that's just me. But I'm not telling you to do anything at all. Now, the next thing is, make sure you leave enough dandelions to make dandelion jelly if you want it later on. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just suggesting things you might do. And I like to make helpful suggestions to my friends. And we're friends, right? This has been a spicy episode. This has been snappy. It's been weird. It's as my daughter would say, who's 20 years old, it's giving. It's giving spicy Kenya stuck in the cold when it should be spring and missing her dandelion energy. That's what it's giving. And I'm also giving my hope to you that you'll enjoy it and that I'll see you here again next time on My Magical Cottagecore Life.